Today on Vox Talks, does the way that economists publish their research need reform? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. As an economist, if you're going to do research, you want to publish it. And when you publish, you want others to read it, you want them to cite it, and you want people to act on it as well. And then you want to be recognised for that success. And the question of whether academic publishing is a meritocracy that promotes the best research and the people who do it, or whether it's a nepotistic club that works best for white men, is the topic of a new e-book published this week. And the two editors, Sebastian Galliani of the University of Maryland and Ugo Panizza of the Graduate Institute Geneva — Ugo is also one of the CEPR's vice presidents — join me today. Sebastian, hello.
Hello, how are you, Tim?
Okay, not too bad. And Ugo, hello, you're there as well.
Hi, Tim, how are you?
Very well. Now, Sebastian, I'll start with you. In an era when working papers can be Googled and tweeted out, and webinars are free and they're usually open, and new research is published by people like VoxEU all the time, and we feature it on Vox Talks as well, is journal publishing still as important as it was?
Yeah, I think it still is important. Outlets like VoxEU and Vox Talks are very useful to help disseminate new research fast and succinctly. Indeed, I am a big fan of VoxEU and VoxDev. However, it is the case that if a scholar is interested in one of the studies disseminated that way, she will read the paper in detail. There is no shortcut to reading papers in science. That's the only way to ponder the rigorosity of the study and to appreciate in full detail its implication. And in addition to that, journal publication serves important purposes. On the one hand, even with the existing problems that peer referee offer present, still is the best way to assess academic work for publication, which conveys a preliminary certification by the journal of the study published. The brand name of the journal is at stake. We just seen that Lancet announced changes in its referee process because of some papers recently being retracted. On the other hand, journal publication is used in economics as an input, very important input, in assessing the success of researchers, and hence it's the rewards currency for their research efforts. This is very important since, as economics know very well, people respond to incentives. It is important to study the structure of incentives in our profession to ensure that we get the best use of the talent in our profession and keep attracting even more talent in the future.
Ugo, the book is divided into sections. I mean, it shows how rich a subject this is that you've got. I think it's six sections, isn't it? Can you briefly tell me what they are?
Correct. So we have six sections. So the first two focus on measuring success and citation patterns. They have topics like our obsession with publishing in the top five journals, the fact that we might give negative value to publishing in low-ranked journals, and the research that was actually conducted by Sebastian and his co-authors on the aging of citations across fields. These are the first two. The third section discusses publication lags, which is one of the key issues that motivated us to work on this ebook. Section four focuses on social ties and connections, and it asks whether connection helps in the publishing process. It also has a chapter on the geography of publishing in economics. One interesting fact is about 20% of economists registered in REPEC, which is a popular site for economists, are based in the US, but about 50% of research that focuses on a specific country focuses on the US, with the developing countries often being underrepresented. Section 5 discusses the race problem in economics, and Section 6 describes research at the time of COVID-19. Among other things, this section has a chapter by Charles Wyplos on the experience of COVID economics, which is a repository launched by CPR at the end of March 2020 to quickly disseminate research on the COVID-19 epidemic. You might have noted that there is something very important missing here. The book does not discuss the gender issue in economics, with the exception of one chapter in the COVID section. This is because in March, CPR published an ebook edited by Shelley Landberg, which fully focused on the women in economic issue. I think you had a Vox talk about that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That was a great ebook. And the Fox Talk that we did about it, that did get into issues of publishing. So please do look that up. Also, please do have a look at COVID economics, because that has been a source of Fox Talks over the last couple of months and an enormously important source of research. But first of all, let's have a look at some of the issues of publications that we've got in the ebook here. Sebastian, I come to you first of all, because you've done a lot of work looking at what success is in publishing. One of the obsessions for an ambitious economist is to get into what they call the top five publications. And for people who don't live in this world, could you explain what the top five is and why the top five is so important?
Yes. So the top five refer to general interest journals that are the most prestigious in the profession. And so when scholars publish in those journals, they get the maximum reward for their publication. So for historical reasons, journals were initiated as general interest journals. Among them, five journals became the most prestigious of the profession, and hence the ones that combines researchers with the largest reward per publication. Over time, the profession grew and became more specialized, and that induced the creation of field journals. Now, all research belongs to a field, so that's whether a paper is published in a general interest journal and among them in a top five or in a field journal has a large subjective component, and to the extent that the profession uses objective rules to decide that, those rules are gained by the system. So that essentially creates some tension. So what we believe, and it really shows in many chapters of the ebooks, is that the question that we have to address is the actual reward structure of the system. The research that we report in the ebook suggests that top fives are given excessive weight in the actual reward structure, affecting not only fairness in the career development of young scholars, but also on the type of research produced. So, like, promoting a stronger competition among journals should be a priority. That's a very important conclusion we reach. And there are different proposals, but one way to achieve this is to assign a greater weight in the assessment of economic career success to high-quality, non-top-five journals. And we believe that the profession should start a conversation about this.
And is the journal in which research is published a good empirical measure at the moment of its later impact? It sounds not.
Well, on average, top five publications receive more citations than second-tier general journals and top field journals. But several of the pieces in the ebook, for example, the one by Dan Hammermesh, the one by Heckman and Mogtan, as well as Anawati, Galvez, and myself, find that there is an important overlap in the distribution of received citations across tiers, and that the influence in terms of citations of top five articles is overestimated, as I was saying before. This means that successful papers not published in top five journals do better than unsuccessful papers published in top five journals using the metric of citations. So this shows that the success of a paper cannot only be assessed by the journal where it's published.
And you and Ugo and all your colleagues, you're measured by how often, how widely you are cited. I mean, it's obvious this can't be a perfect measure. You've looked at the citation patterns from thousands of papers. How reliable is it in economics?
It is not perfect, and I doubt that's going to be ever an objective perfect measure, but, you know, it still is the best indicator that we have available. We may be aware of the following if we are going to, when we use it. So in my work with Anawati and Galvez, we show that there are large differences in the citation aging across disciplines, like, for example, economics and medicine, but also across fields within economics, right? Applied papers and applied theory papers are more cited than theory and methods paper, and that should be taken into account when using citations to assess the success and productivity of researchers. As I say, citations are maybe the best, but not perfect. And there is research and research reported in the ebook that citations are used strategically. So that has to also be taken into account.
Ugo, another aspect of academic publishing in economics that surprises outsiders is how long it takes. Does it matter that a paper can take a year and a half to get published?
Yes, it does. But before getting into that, so there are two types of delays. The first type relates to delays from the moment a paper is submitted to the moment the paper is accepted.
Mm.
And the second delay relates to from the moment in which the paper is accepted to the moment in which the paper is published. The first type of delay, which went from about 8 months in the 1970s to, as you said, about 1.5 years in the early 2000s, and I suspect more right now, is what really matters. Because as Sebastian was mentioned, publication in a good journal provides some type of certification. And now the profession has agreed that this certification comes in the moment the paper is accepted, not in the moment in which it's published. And this really matters at many levels, but it really matters for young economists. So young economists who just finished their PhD and they got their first job, they're often on a tenure clock.
Mm.
They need to produce a body of research in 5 or 6 years. And imagine with that, you know, if I send a paper and I don't hear anything for like 1 year, 1.5 years, if I have, you know, bad luck twice, this could have a very large negative effect on the likelihood that I get promoted and I get tenure. And this is clearly bad for the individual, but it might also be bad for society because we might end up wasting resources and we might even create incentives against risk-taking. So maybe a young researcher will choose a safer project and a more ambitious one because all these risks involved in these long publication lags.
So how can we speed this up?
We have a chapter about this, which is this idea of quick desk rejection, in which the editor quickly looks at the paper and the editor thinks that the paper has very limited chances it rejects it quickly. This speeds up the process, so it's better to have a quick desk rejection than a rejection after 1 year. But in my view, it also has its own problems because it also might amplify the role of connection. But on a more positive side, we have a chapter by Raj Chetty, Emmanuel Saez, and Laszlo Sandor, which did an experiment with the Journal of Public Economics, which is a very good field journal, and found out that providing referees within incentives, both monetary and social, can speed up the refereeing process. But the real solution is really along the lines of what Sebastian was mentioning, to create more diversity among journals, to create competitions in the journal. There is a sentence by John Cochrane in the chapter that he authored in the ebook. Cochrane writes, you know, economists believe in markets, but not for papers. So there still seem to be some sort of monopoly of these top five journals. So creating a system that fosters competition among journals may be the way out of this.
You mentioned connection. Are you more likely to get published if you're connected to particular economists or you're from a particular place or a particular institution?
So we have several chapters in the ebook that talk about this. There is the chapter mentioned by Sebastian, by James Ekman and Siddharth Mokhtan. There is a chapter by Cherkashin and co-authors, which focuses on another top field journal, which is the Journal of International Economics, which also provide evidence in this direction. But there is a chapter by Tommaso Colussi, which focuses only on this issue. And this chapter does two things. First, Tommaso shows that when an economist becomes editor of a journal, the colleagues of this editor and his or her former PhD student start publishing more in this journal. So this seems clear evidence that connections matter. Then Tommaso does something else. He asks the question. He says, well, there could be two reasons why people who are connected with the editor published more. One reason is that because of this connection, the editor is better able to evaluate the quality of the papers of people he knows or she knows. And the other reason is nepotism. And try to discriminate between these two hypotheses. Tommaso looks at citation, post-publication citation patterns of connected people, and he finds that the information hypothesis seems to dominate the nepotism hypothesis for former PhD students of editors. So papers of former PhD student of an editor get a lot of citations, while the nepotism hypothesis seems to dominate in the case of a colleague of the editor. I just want to add something. There is a chapter at the end of the ebook called Suggestion for Further Readings, and in this chapter, I quote another paper which seems to find evidence which does not go along with what Tommaso finds. These authors still find that people connected to the editor publish more, but he finds that the information hypothesis might hold also for people connected to the editor by being colleagues of the editor. So this is clearly an important question because it's at the core of the incentive system that Sebastian was mentioning. So we clearly need more research on this. But what I want to point out that even if the information story is true, that is, editors are better able to evaluate research by their colleagues and their former students, this will still be an issue because people who do not have connection with an editor would find it harder to signal the quality of their papers to prestigious journals. So even in the best of cases, this would still be problematic.
Now, Ugo, you're also looking at the race problem in economics in this ebook, very controversial at the moment. And if we start from the position, which I think most of the profession does, that there is not enough economic research into race and there are too few black academics, has the publishing process been part of this problem?
We have two chapters which focus on this issue. One chapter by Trevon Logan and Samuel Myers. In this chapter, the authors point out that most modern economists are not trained to address questions of systemic racism. And this has led the profession to ignore the structural determinant of current racial inequality. And this is somewhat related to the idea of economic imperialism, that we as economists, we have, you know, superior mathematical and statistical tools, so we invade other professions and other fields, let's say, which have not been traditionally those of economics. And some people say, well, by doing this, you enter fields without a good understanding of this field. And so what Logan and Myers do, they suggest that economists who want to study issues of race, they should get some training and a better understanding in the history and culture and the contributions of African Americans in this case. We have another chapter by Gregory Price and Rhonda Sharp, which focuses on the lack of African-American economic professor in U.S. universities. One thing that the authors show is that while the number of African-Americans who received a PhD in economics has increased over time, while still being fairly low, there has been no comparable increase of black economic professors in U.S. universities. Mm. And the author point out that this is a fact which is hard to explain without invoking some type of discrimination. Another thing that is highlighted by Greg Price and Rhonda Sharp is that this lack of diversity in economic faculty has negative consequences, not just for the individuals, but also in aggregate, because a more diverse profession might be helpful in providing different perspectives on policies that might address the issues faced by those who are marginalized in society.
Finally, Sebastian, we cannot have a podcast at the moment without mentioning COVID-19, of course, and there have been thousands of innovative pieces of research into the economic impact of COVID-19. And on one hand, we can call that a great success. But is the fact that we need to find places to publish these outside the journal system because of their urgency, is it showing us the limitations of the journal system in 2020?
Well, there's been a very large production of papers in the COVID area. And obviously, as we discussed before, the publication process has some delays for providing what it provides, and that is a limitation. But I also think that many of the research that was conducted in this area was conducted because of the feeling of researchers that we needed to contribute to the challenge that the world was facing. And so finding other ways of disseminating the research was very important. And we have like a very important response by CPR by developing these papers for COVID economics, which were vetted and real-time papers, right? And so that was inspired from physics and the medical science, where there exists an old tradition of preprint. So we didn't have this practice in economics, and I think that was very, very useful and is discussed in the ebooks by Charles Wyblosk, who is the editor of COVID Economics. And also, that is something that the profession wants to consider in the future. So it's a useful experiment, the one that was developed by CPR.
Ugo, Sebastian, thank you very much, and thank you for producing this book.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
You can download this ebook now from VoxEU. As ever, it's free. You don't have to wait a year and a half for it. It's called Publishing and Measuring Success in Economics. Remember also to have a look at Women in Economics, the ebook that we published in March, editor Shelley Lundberg, and also have a listen to the Vox Talk, in which I talked to Shelley and some of her colleagues about the issues raised in that ebook. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks. You will never miss an episode. And remember, there are 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.